There's a story, speaking of the president, in the Chicago Sun-Times. Chicago should landmark the sign at Trump Tower. Landmark it? And Neil Steinberg wrote it. What the hell are you thinking, sir?
I was thinking of the Vietnam Veterans Wall. The column starts by trying to get the thing taken down, and I'm calling the mayor's office and the zoning board.
Seriously, you were?
Yeah, I was.
You were exploring how is it that we could get the word Trump off Trump Tower?
Because it's too long. They had to have a little variance to me. It's bigger than it should be, and I figured, okay, they push this. And also, the meaning's changed. In 2014, Trump was just some, you know, puffed up plutocrat national joke, and now it's become almost hate speech, right? It's what bigots cry as they're beating people. And so I thought, well, maybe we could take it down in that way. But then halfway through the column, I kind of do a pirouette, and I thought, I had this insight, this flash of inspiration. And I thought, no, we should landmark it, because we can do that right away, force it up, kind of repurpose it as something where people can go and try to heal from all this stuff. And I was serious. I mean, I compared it to Vietnam as far as a time that, and our nation, I mean, you have to agree, John, that our nation is broken in half, and some people love what's going on, and they dig it, and they have rallies. And
okay, so this president is this divisive point, and you don't like him. You want the Stein to stay?
Yes.
In fact, you want it landmarked so it can't come out.
I don't. I mean, a lot of my liberal pals think, oh, we're going to boot him out of office in 2020 and everything's going to be fine. And that, to me, is as delusional as the far right.
What do you think
is
going to happen in 2020?
Well, I think he's going to win, first of all. But also, even if he doesn't, we're still going to have that Punch and Judy show that we had during the Obama administration, where Fox is cheerleading this sort of rear guard action, and half the country is happy because it's going their way, and then half the country is unhappy.
I'm always trying to find the glass half full. Is one of the good things about the Trump administration that this has come to light?
Absolutely. I use the x-ray of your tumor metaphor. Okay, they show you the x-ray. Oh, John, I'm sorry. Look at this big mass here on your lung. You can get mad at the x-ray, but it's really not that. I mean, Donald Trump is the one guy I don't blame. He's just bringing all this out. All this stuff was here. He's a symptom. He's not a cause.
Well, that's a remarkably sympathetic, fair-minded thing for you to say.
Well, I try. Hey, wait a second. What are you suggesting here?
I'm saying that it's easy to fall into the trap of disliking him so much that you become a liberal version of him.
Well, that's a very American thing, is to become the thing we're afraid of. Okay, so like if we're fighting the Axis, hey, let's build our own concentration camps and put our own citizens in them. If we're fighting the Soviets, hey, let's create our own police state, right? So with Trump, it's, oh, God, we hate him, and he's this, and he's that, and he's evil, and blah, blah. No, I really think that it's like a boil being lanced, that he's brought this stuff out.
Okay, so let's just go back to your column, which began, the sign goes up on Trump Tower, or is that, that's actually prelude to that. As a rule, I try not to have rules, you wrote. That's what makes this column such a
draught of delight.
Draught of delight. The closest I come to having a rule is this, never advocate the impossible. But then you wrote about your effort to see what it would take to get the sign off the side of the building, which I've wondered about before. And you pointed two possible scenarios. One is that the citizens inside that building could themselves vote to have
that's
it
happened
removed.
In New York. I mean, it's not a piece of public property. Okay, although in Los Angeles, for instance, they've passed laws, and they basically go to the building and say, you've got to take this sign down for these various reasons. So it's not that it's impossible, it's just that it's a lot of work and the city has other problems.
But you wonder if the citizens, if just those investors in those units in that building saw the value of those units not go up much or go down, and wonder why, and wonder if the name on the side of the building is what's keeping potential people from coming in, right?
Right.
I'll bet 59% of the population won't even consider it because of the name on the side. You think they would have incentive, even if they like the president, to, for their own financial interest,
it's break already
it down.
Happened at Trump Plaza in New York City. Although I did look into, I said I wasted more time in my life writing that column than I like to think about. But the condos in Chicago have not fallen that much in value. Even though we were 84% for Hillary or whatever.
Okay, but then what about, does the city have an option? Can they just say we've changed our mind or we're going?
The city, I mean, what the law department said is the city could probably make it smaller, but
that's it.
We'd have to fight them in court and it's not worth it. And that's what kind of made me think, what am I trying to do? In other words, we don't want to look at it because it burns our eyes. I mean, that's kind of babyish. I mean, I'm a big believer in understanding what's happening and what's gone on. I mean, if you look at, it's a bad comparison to make, but if you look at Germany, they acknowledge their history and move on with it. And I think we're going to end up acknowledging all this.
Germany
stuff.
Doesn't allow swastikas. Germany kind of whitewashes the history
but they
of the
study
Nazis.
It. They don't allow swastikas because they don't want you marching and saluting to them. But they do have memorials and things. I mean, obviously, Trump's big name on that building is not the memorial of shame that I would have.
What about the zeitgeist for the city, though? Just the whole vibe. When people see that, they have a visceral reaction to it, unlike any other building in this town.
Well, that's what started this column was, you know, you love Chicago. I mean, look out your window, right? You're looking out almost at the spot.
We are on the 18th story at 303 East Wacker. This is a beautiful view.
The Wrigley Building, the Intercontinental, what used to be Tribune Tower. I mean, all these, it's an iconic location at the heart of this city, which is the home of the union movement and the home of all these progressive, you know, Ida B. Wells kind of things.
Yeah.
And then to have this hideous brand of shame stuck on that building.
It's
there.
A beautiful building.
I love it. It's like
it's a
skyscraper on Mars.
Building. It is.
You don't take anything away from it. But, you know, frankly, if they were having Neil Steinberg night in the ballroom, I like to think I wouldn't go. Because to me, you know, this is something that represents something so evil. It represents like the negation of American values. You know, people, when they write me, they go, oh, you're a hater. I say, well, what I hate is to see my country that I love dragged in the dirt by these fearful people who don't have faith that we can absorb the same immigrants we've always absorbed, the same way we absorbed their grandparents. You know, it's such an inversion. It's such, you know, and as a journalist, as someone who cares about the truth, you know, to see the king of lies enshrined in the center of my hometown, it bugs me.
The book I'm carrying around, and I went looking for you during the commercial break, and I left it at home, is, I think, called Tribal Politics. It's a book about politics and how tribal it is
right.
In Afghanistan, in Syria, in Russia, and in the United States. And the author does a terrific job of explaining Trump's appeal. I think some of us scratch our heads and say, how can the right, the Trump supporters, not see what you're saying? And the author makes it very clear that even though Trump's a billionaire, everything he does resonates with a group of people that have always felt on the margins. So he doesn't speak perfect English.
Right.
Well, guess what? We don't either. And you can go through all of his foibles and all of his half-truths, which a lot of people fall prey to, and they see themselves in him. And it's not just a reflection, but they like the notion that through all of that, he's fighting for them. I'm giving you a speech here, and you didn't ask
for it. Oh, no, I completely understand. Look, the paper sent me down for his inauguration to Henry County, which is 250 miles south. And if you line up the 101 Illinois counties, Cook County voted, I think it was like 73% for Hillary. And then Henry County was almost, you know, everyone voted for Trump. The nicest people. Butter wouldn't melt in their mouths. Okay, so when I look at his supporters, I don't think they're stone haters. I think they're people who are focused on a very small part of the question.
Sure. And then that is?
Someone told him he's going to bring back the coal industry.
This is why I don't hate the people. This is why I don't fault the people that voted for him the first time. I don't understand the people that go to the rallies now. But I think the people that voted for him, a lot of my colleagues here think I'm crazy when I say this, I don't think that they thought it was going to be like this. They thought he'd be crazy to get elected, then he would come to his senses, that John Kelly would corral him. So they didn't know it was going to be like this. You can't fault them.
I think that they're happy with how it's turning out. Okay,
you think they're what?
They're happy. They think he's doing. They think he's the best president ever. John.
I don't think that's true. I think some of them do.
You're not reading my email. I'm just saying.
Well, that's it. You're not reading my text line. I mean, I understand that. Of course, they're going to feel that way. But if that was 20% of America, that would be a lot of people. I don't think it's half of America. I'm not sure it's 41% of America. Now, maybe that's my hope. I have to pause. Come back and answer this question for me. It's 2:22 on WGN, and that is, would taking Trump's name off his building, that's why you're here, Neil Steinberg's thoughtful pieces in the Chicago Sun-Times a day ago. It's called Chicago Should Landmark the Sign at Trump Tower. You just Google Steinberg Sun-Times, you'll find it. But even if you were successful at that, wouldn't that boomerang in a minute? Neil Steinberg's column in the Chicago Sun-Times on the 18th is about the Trump Tower sign that says Trump. They got a variance before Donald Trump was a candidate where he was, and I'll say, a popular TV game show host.
Yes, 14 years.
I mean, think about that. A lot of us who didn't know his political aspirations thought he was kind of fun on TV.
I think a lot of people still do. They think of him as that star on TV, that great businessman, and that's it.
So the question before the break, you want the sign to come down, but you find out that's problematic. And in fact, at the end of your column, you conclude that maybe it's best it stays up there the same way the Vietnam Veterans Memorial is in Washington, D.C., a reminder of what we've gone through.
I think in America, we have to acknowledge this subcurrent of xenophobia, of racism, of hate. I mean, it's been a thread throughout our whole country. We've had a civil war over it.
And you think that sign will be emblematic of that?
If we have to look at it, I mean, you said yourself, people are always stopping their cars and flipping the bird to the sign. Okay, so they're not worshiping that. They're not admiring that. They are repurposing it.
Seriously, you think there's value in putting a monument up that gets
that reaction? Well, the
monument
is up. So my point was, in other words, let's force them to keep it up. Because what is going to happen is that the condo owners are going to realize that the price of their condos is depressed 20% because nobody wants to live in Trump Tower.
Would taking it down, suppose you were successful, the city, if anybody was successful in taking it off, wouldn't that boomerang?
Absolutely. No one cries like a bully. And so it would allow Trump to be, you know, to say, oh, look what they're doing to my beautiful building, and I'm a victim, boo-hoo. Those mean people in Chicago are hurting me. And, you know, absolutely. That's why, again, halfway through the column, I said, no, let's not take it down. And we can't. I don't want to upend the capitalist system. It's private property. What we could do is landmark it. It's in the realm of the possible, which I try to live in, John.
Jeff, you're on WGN. I know you are on a different side than our guest. What did you want to say? You're on the air.
Well, I'm not sure which street it is. It has an L that goes north and south. And when you look down the street and you see that Trump sign, I get the all warm and fuzzy feeling. I'm happy, happy, happy.
That's Wabash, by the way.
Don't touch it. Don't touch that sign. And by the way, the city council granted the sign to be that large. They allowed it,
yep.
And so now they have to live with it.
No argument here. Thank you for that call. And by the way, you also told producer Elif off the air, if they took it down, there'd be riots on the streets.
Right.
I don't know that there would be, but I get the point.
Well,
and
we
I
have
understand
police
that.
For that. I mean, the thing is that the threat of violence is always kind of, it's their go-to thing, that if Trump isn't elected, the country's going to fall apart. And I don't think we're going to have to worry about that because I think he's going to win again. At least the way the Democrats are going. Who's going to beat him?
630, John, you are wrong. There are a lot of people who think Trump is the best president ever. I think there are fewer that think that now than did when they voted for him the first time.
You know,
they thought they'd get the best president. I think some of them have gotten off the bus.
And Anne Frank thought people were good at heart, John, and look what happened to her. I don't want to argue about it. I haven't done a poll.
What are
I'm
you
just
are?
Saying is I've never met anyone who is a disappointed Trump supporter.
Oh, really? You haven't looked. I mean, seriously, I haven't either. But I'll bet if you wrote the column or I did the show and said, let me know if you are a disappointed Trump supporter from 2016.
This is WGN. We should have them call in. Say, call in and say why you voted for Trump and now you're sorry. The phone lines will be empty.
They would not.
Okay.
They would not.
It's a way
I mean,
to find out.
It would be easier to get calls. I'm out of time. But it would be easier to get calls if we said, tell me you love Donald Trump. Right. I get it. But who wants to admit that they got it wrong or that they're disappointed? But I think that number is underestimated.
Okay. Well, I said we should look for that.
We should hope for that. Neil Steinberg writes in the Chicago Sun-Times. His piece from the 18th is about the sign on the building. He says it should stay. Nice to see you, Neil.
A pleasure to be here, John.